you'll say amen when you got there. All right, all right. All right, y'all. So now, before we begin, let me just how we got to this place in the book of James, chapter 3. So I got the word. Okay, you go bring the word for Bible study, right? All right, okay. So I'm like, Lord, what do you want to say, Lord? And he told me, and he said, what's your problem? I was like, what you mean, what's my problem? So yeah, what's your problem? I was like, Lord, no, not that, Lord. Yeah, what's your problem? And I'm like, oh yeah. He said, yeah, because the problem you have is a lot of everybody else's problem. So I was like, okay, all right. So tonight, y'all, we're gonna talk about actually what I'm using right now, our mouth. Specifically, our tongue. So coming out of the book of James, chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 6, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue, somebody say the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Father God, bless your word, Lord God, as we teach it, Father God, as we dig in it, Lord God, give us wisdom and understanding, Father God, and revelation of your word, Father God. Write it on our hearts, Lord God, and may we leave here tonight changed, Lord God. We need you, Father God, to be a dentist tonight, Father God. Get inside of our mouth, Lord God, and do surgery in us, Father God. Have your way right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, saints. So this book, the book of James, it is actually written and penned by Jesus' younger brother. Jesus' younger brother is a natural born son of Joseph and Mary. So James is Jesus' little brother. Now, can you imagine your brother is Jesus? I mean, Mary probably like, come on, James. Can you just do it like Jesus? I mean, what would Jesus do? Come on, James. Can you just do it like Jesus? And I could imagine James, you know, maybe, you know, he on the school ground and they want to pick a fight with him, man. Look, my big brother is Jesus. Now, look, back up, you know. I'm just saying. So James is Jesus' little brother. But y'all, Jesus is our brother, right? And he a friend, and the Bible says that he sticks closer than a brother. But y'all, on a serious note, y'all, James, he found it very difficult to believe that his brother was the Messiah. I mean, they grew up together. That would be a little difficult to, you know, say, yeah, my brother is God, huh? Yeah, no, his brother is for real God. It was a little difficult for him to believe that he was the Messiah. And it would not be until after the resurrection that Jesus I'm sorry, that James would now believe that Jesus was really Jesus, the Christ. Now, Jesus actually showed himself to James personally. And after James saw Jesus that time, he was never the same. He knew it was true. He knew it was true. Now, can you imagine your brother is God in the flesh? Your brother, the one that you've been kicking the can with and in the same house with, y'all sat at the table together. Your brother is the King of all kings this whole time. The Lord of all lords, your own brother. Y'all, so James, see, after he gets that encounter, and actually after he believes in Jesus truly for who he really is, James, he grows in faith, and he becomes a leader in the Jerusalem church. And it was said that James was, he was so devoted to prayer that he was given a nickname. He was called, it was called, he had camel knees because of the hours he spent on his knees. James was, he was a prayer warrior. Now, this book of James, it's an awesome book. You should definitely read it because it's like a how-to to walk this Christian life. How to live it, and also how not to live it. You know, James says, you know, faith without works is dead. But at the same time, yeah, do the work, but your mouth should be matching your work as well. Because sometimes we could be working, but our mouth is doing the opposite of what actually we're working. We're working for the Lord, but the mouth is still in darkness. So tonight, y'all, our focus scripture is going to be at verse number 6, all right? And it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, the scriptures before this scripture at verse 6, James says, let not many of us become teachers because we will receive a stricter judgment. Don't not want to come right here. Like, don't really, like, don't have a, like, I want to do that. They asked me, so, you know, I'm going to do it. You know, understand what I'm saying? But not to desire this microphone. It's not this type of thing. You know what I'm saying? He says, stricter judgment. We're going to be held accountable more. You see? We're held accountable more. So don't be, you know, wanting to be here. But if it come, well, the Lord done did a lot for me. How am I going to say no? I mean, he got me off the drug. He got me out the club. He gave me a family. How I say no? He died on a cross. He just want me to preach his cross. I mean, how you say no? James, he continues on and he says, we all stumble in many things and in many areas. We all flawed. We all got an issue. Everybody. I got an issue. We all got issues. And he says, James says, if a person does not stumble in his words, he is a perfect man. Now, when he means stumble in his words, he's not talking about stuttering. No, he's not talking about stuttering. He's talking about stumbling in his words, meaning that if a person, he don't say nothing wrong, he 100% on point, that's a perfect man. The only perfect man I know is Jesus. And they could never trap Jesus when he was on the earth. He's still not going to stop him. He still can't trap him. He is perfect. Because the Bible tells us that there is none perfect, no, not one, but Jesus. And that we all have all fallen short of the glory of God, especially in our mouth. Somebody messed up today. I mean, this was the right message. It happens. It happens to the best of us, y'all. We have bad days, bro. I mean, we have bad days, but it shouldn't be every day. But we do have bad days. Jesus continues in, not Jesus, I'm sorry, James, the brother of Jesus. He talks about the horse's bit around the mouth to steer them. and how a large ship can be turned by a very small rudder, and our tongue is that rudder. Big old ship, it's just a little helm, they move the whole ship. That's our tongue. It changes the course of life, it changes the course of nature. It says our tongue is small, but it can boast great things. And somebody about us Hebrews, we like to boast about stuff. I mean, we be lying though, you know what I'm saying? Don't be telling the truth though, you know? But we be boastful and just bragging and all that. You know, we grew up in that, you know? But it wasn't always right though. And James says, how great a forest a little fire kindles. A little bush fire. Just a little fire will set the whole thing on fire. That's what our tongue can do. So y'all, we just gonna have one point tonight. Just one point. Oh, I see the time. Okay, all right, good deal, good deal. One point, and that point is the tongue. That's our point. But I got some sub points though. We got some sub points. All right, now the tongue, y'all, in the Greek is the word glossia, almost like glossary, the dictionary. It means a member of the body, an organ of speech. Your tongue is a specific organ for speech. Like, for real, I thought it was for food and speech. No, it was specifically for you to talk. And I guess you could still chew and swallow without your tongue, maybe. I don't know, maybe not. Thank God for our tongue. Amen. All right, so check this out, y'all. The first sub point, we're going to talk about the tongue. And the title of the message, you guys, is which tongue is yours? Which tongue is yours? Because we all will fall in one of these categories, maybe more than one, maybe more than two, maybe all 12. I don't know. But we're going to fall somewhere in it. All right? The first one is the lying and deceiving tongue. Coming from Proverbs 6:16 through 17, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Y'all, God hates a liar. He hates a liar. I mean, you don't like liars. You don't like liars, right? Most of us, we do not like a liar. You don't like to be lied to, right? Right, okay. And we might have said, I could deal with this kind of person, I could deal with that kind of person, but I cannot deal with a liar. Only thing is, we said it, but we be lying though. You don't like a liar, you don't want to be lied to, but you be lying. That's a problem. That's a problem, we gotta fix that. We can't be lying, y'all. That was the old man. Now, has anybody ever lied before? Raise your hand. Okay, if your hand is not raised, you have just made your first lie. All right. Just, hey, the Bible says there is none perfect. None. So, y'all, God does not like a liar. And there are countless stories about liars in the Bible. The Bible doesn't hide anything, bro. That's why I know God wrote this, because man wrote it. Man was trying to hide stuff, and they wouldn't put the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Man, God put it all in the Bible. Let's start off with the first liar, the devil. Yep. Oh, yeah, he did it. Yep. Yes, he did. Looking at Genesis 3, at verse number 4. I mean, y'all know the story. You know, God made Adam, got the rib, made Eve, then the garden. God gives the command, do not do this, or this will happen. The devil says this. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's lying. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He lying all the way. Now, the truth was that they would die. They did die. Not immediately, but they first died spiritually and then later physically. And, y'all, they did not become gods. Why? Because they were already, Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. He was already he was already all right. He wasn't missing anything, but the devil put a lie to make them think they were missing something. This is the first lie. And the Bible says that all lies come from the father of lies, Satan himself. He's the first one. And this started, y'all, a whole trajectory of lies to go through all through mankind. Because next up, who we have? Cain and Abel. Yeah. These are the two sons of Adam and Eve. Y'all know the story. Cain gave a sacrifice. Well, it wasn't really a sacrifice. He gave an offering, but the Lord was like, nah, that's not right. Abel gave the firstlings of his flock. The Lord accepted it. Cain feeling salty. He like, oh. And the Lord is like, just do what he did. Just do what Abel did. You're going to be good. But Cain, he has something in his heart. He has some hate for Abel. And he murders his brother Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Wait a minute. You murdered him. His blood is spilling from the ground. The Lord heard it. The Lord come to you and ask you a question, and he straight up lies right in the face of God. I know not. And in my brother's keeper, it's like, man, you're lying and you're being smart. Come on, man. Next up, we have Jacob's sons. They lie about Joseph being killed. Now, I want to look at this one. It's at Genesis 37, 31. And this is a very interesting lie that they did. Let's read it. It says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Now, there's a lie right here, but this is the one that's a little different because they gave like an open-ended question. They didn't ask a question and they respond with a lie. Actually, they offered a question and allowed the other person to answer it, leading them to a different outcome, a false situation of what was really going on. It was craftiness of speech. Jacob's son says, we found this. Is this your son's coat? This your son's coat, right? Yeah. They got some blood on it, daddy. There is some blood on it. That is his coat. He must have been torn in pieces. So Jacob is saying it, and they're just agreeing with it. They're lying, and it's deception because they have information, but they're not giving that information. They're not telling the truth. It's a lie. Craftiness of speech. Craftiness of speech. So that is the lying and deceiving tongue. Next up, we have a flattering tongue. Let's look at Proverbs 26:28. It says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Now, what does it mean to flatter? That just means, one, it's to praise, I'll give a compliment, but another one is actually a compliment, but it's ingenuine. It's not a sincere compliment. You actually are trying to get something, or really your motivation and your intention is really not good. It's like, okay, Brother Brian, I come to him like, bro, you cold, boy. Man, you're going to be the next Kirk Franklin. You're going to be Donnie McKirkland. You're going to be Will McDonald, man. You're going to do it. But the whole time, my point is for me to get on the worship team, and I want to be the leader now. You see what I'm saying? It's okay to compliment people, but it's the excessive compliment. And then you also have to watch you compliment the person over the same thing over and over and over again. Man, he did it like, this was like a month ago. You still compliment him about the thing he did a month ago. It's like, wait, it's that excessive flattery. And the story in the Bible that came to my mind was the scribes and the Pharisees. They did this with Jesus. In Matthew 22:15, it says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk." They wanted to entangle Jesus in his talk. Now wait, you're not going to entangle Jesus. You can't. He's God, but they don't know who they're dealing with. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men." And it's just like, okay, no, that's too many words. You're talking too much. And you come out with, "Master, that you are true." No. They were trying to trap him. You can't trap Jesus, though. And they say, "Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" So now remember, this is in the time of the Roman occupation. All right, Caesar is in control. They're trying to entangle Jesus. They want to try to get Jesus caught up. It's not going to happen. Because Jesus responds with, give me the coin. Whose face is on it? See, okay, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what is God. And Jesus says, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" We got to watch flattery. Watch the flattering tongue. Give compliments. Give the people their props when they do something. Definitely do that. But the excessive nature of you trying to get something maybe out of it or push your position, no, don't do that. Next up, we have a C, which is a proud tongue. A proud tongue. Coming out of Psalm 12, verse 3 says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." We got to watch the proud tongue. It makes me think about Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4:29, it says, "At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon." So Nebuchadnezzar, he's walking around the house. "I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. Look at all that I built." And he just goes on this my tangent. In the scripture, it says, "The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Y'all, while it says, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, 7 years, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and it giveth to whomsoever he will." In that same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Watch out. God said that he will abase the proud. And God heard what he was doing in his house. What does that say? God hears what's going on in our house. He hears the pride that's coming out. And he can abase us. He set one up and he put another one down. The proud tongue, we gotta stay clear of it. Next up, we have the overused tongue. Yeah, the overused tongue. Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanted not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." The multitude of words, sin is present. You gotta watch people when they come in and they talk like a lot. You can't get nothing in really, and you just listen like, yeah, okay, wow, okay, wow, yeah, and they just keep going and going, and going and going and going. It's like, man, you know, bro, you didn't lie about three things in this 30-minute conversation, because you just, you know, conversation is good and we should talk, but it should be a, you know, I say a little bit, you say a little bit, I say a little, you know what I'm saying? But just that over-talking, it's going to get you caught up, man. And it got Nabal caught up. He's talking too much. He's talking crazy, actually. 1 Samuel 25:10. Now, what's going on right here? David did Nabal a favor, all right? Held down his sheep and everything like that. And David just wanted, you know, let him know, hey, we did you a favor, you know, can you spot me something, you know, something like that, you know? But Nabal talking crazy, and he talking a lot. He says in 1 Samuel 25:10, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed for my shares? But wait, bro, slow, wait, come on, man. Chill out, bro. They just come and they did you a favor, bro. But you see, he's talking too much. He's talking too much. And he almost got his, well, he did get his issue. But his wife, Abigail, tried to smooth it all out. But in the end, Nabal lost his life and David got a wife. Wash your tongue, man. Wash the overused tongue. Let's keep going. The swift tongue. The swift tongue. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Proverbs 18:13 also says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And it made me think about the scenario with David and Nathan again. I know we just went over it with the pastor at 2 Samuel 12:5. Y'all know the story, though. Y'all remember what David did. Bathsheba and the milk of magnesia. You know what I'm saying. Y'all remember the story? I know y'all do. I know. It's Philly. All right, so 2 Samuel 12:5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Nathan had given a parable, and David was just hot. And he didn't hear the whole thing. And when he spoke that, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. Boy, you didn't kill yourself. Because this thing is about you. There's a thing when it comes to whenever we mad. Say this with me. If you speak while you are mad, everything may come out bad. Yeah. Yeah. When we mad, you're going to have to do this. And I know sometimes when we mad, it feel like if I say it, it's going to feel better. But it's not gonna feel better. It's just the flesh that's gonna feel better, but your spirit gonna be all grieved and you're gonna mess it all up and it's more trouble. Rather, what we're gonna have to do whenever we mad, before we say something, we're just gonna have to just shh. Let me do this. Shh. It might take that long for it to simmer down. Simmer down, boy. All right? If you speak while you are mad, everything may come out bad. Y'all, look, this is for me too, yeah. This thing here, man, you know, it's a fire. It could be, you know. So the problem that, you know, we all have, and I'm just coming to share with y'all my problem. I'm hoping y'all got the same problem, and we're going to learn something, you know. That's it. Let's keep going, y'all. The backbiting tongue. The backbiting tongue. All right, look, a backbiting is the act of saying something about someone with the intention of harming them personally. You want to hurt them. You mean ill, backbiting. The stabbing in the back, is that's what I picture when I hear the word backbiting, all right? Psalm 50, verse 20 says, you sit and malign your brother. That means you sit and do evil to your brother. you slander your own mother's son. Psalm 28:3. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors while malice is in their hearts. See, the story that came to my mind was, it was Judas. Oh, yeah, he stabbed Jesus in the back. Saying, "Hail, Master," and he kissed him on the cheek to deliver him. Now, this was supposed to go down. We needed it to go down, actually, for our salvation. But he still got his issue, too. Backbiting. We can't backbite people. We believers, y'all. I mean, back in the day, yeah. But we should not want to wish ill to nobody. We should do it in peace with every man as much as we can. I know situations come, but just do the best that you can. We're going to have to turn the other cheek. We can't be backbiting, you know. As we continue to the next type of tongue, we have the gossiping tongue. The tale-bearing tongue. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A tale-bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." It is very important, y'all, when we fellowshipping and we may be sharing our heart with somebody, man, to keep that between y'all, man. That is so, so important. It's so important. People these days don't like to open up already, especially the brothers. So then when you mess that up, it's like, come on, man. That's not, can y'all do that out there, man? This Philly. This a church. It's a hospital. We all got an issue, but can we go do this thing together and not gossip about this one and that person? We all got an issue. I mean, but let's not just go on, especially going, and especially if that person has nothing to do with that situation. No, let's not do that. Your tongue can't hold water. Come on, man. The next one we have, we have the cursing tongue. The cursing tongue. Yeah, not everybody delivered. No. We can't go front. Don't front. No. Saved, but not quite. Delivered in some areas, and particularly in the cursing of the tongue. James 3:10 says, out of the mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We praise in God. And then we curse our brother or our sister or our spouse, our wife, our children. We curse at the job. I mean, come on. We can't. James is like, nah, we can't do that. James says, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God." Yeah, we at church, we giving God praise, giving God glory. He's great. He's a really, really good God. And then it go down at home. It go down at the job. I was like, wait a minute, is that the same mouth? That can't be the same mouth. Bitter water can't come, sweet water can't come. No, not the same spout. No way, James is saying. No way. Therewith curse we men. How we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. God made that person. But we praising the Lord, the creator, and curse his creation. It's not matching, James is saying. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Do you go to the water fountain and one person go and it's sweet water and another person go and it's bitter now? You talk with a person one day, it's sweet and it's good, and you talk to them again, and now it's bitter. Or you talk to a person, and his majority is always bitter. We have our bad days, because some days it might be bitter. We have bad days. But the majority, it should majority be sweet. Bitter should be things happen, life happens. But every day can't be bitter. No, not for us. not for us. Next, we have the jesting tongue. See, the jesting tongue. All right, now I like to laugh. Phil be making me laugh all the time over here. I mean, you're a clown. I like to laugh. But as a Christian, there's a certain way that we can clown. And there's a limit to our clowning. We our bar to joke around and clown is high bar. The world bar of clowning is very low. They clown about perverted things. I mean, you heard it on the job. And we have to watch ourselves as a believer. What do you laugh at? Because what you laugh at is going to kind of show what's going on the inside. That still, you might not be delivered just yet. Because if you're laughing at stuff that, you know, you should actually be ashamed of, should be actually kind of be bashful that they clowning like that, there's still some work that got to be done. The jesting tongue. Ephesians 5:3 says, but among you, as is proper among the saints, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of character, but rather giving thanksgiving. When we doing the crude jokes, that's out of the character of a Christian. And we could clown. I like to laugh. We can clown. I'm not. This not like, oh no, we got to just. No, man, smile, man. Smile. We mugged enough back in the world, man. I mean, can't we smile these days? It's good to smile. Smile's contagious. You know what I'm saying? But we got to watch the jokes. Is it? I mean, God is listening to the joke. I mean, you know, he hear it too. What we laughing at? What are we laughing at? Now, the story specifically comes out of 2 Kings 2, 22 through 23 about a little jesting going on. It says, so the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Elisha, man, we just talking about bitter and sweet water. Elisha just did a miracle. He turned some bitter water and he made it sweet. Just went down. And he leaves from that place and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. They johnning, man. They johnning. Now, you know, johnning isn't, we could clown, yeah, but we got to watch the johnning. I remember as a kid, man, I got johned a lot, man, and that was rough, bro. I cried a couple of times. They johnning me so much, man. It's just, I'm just keeping it real. We got to watch the johnning. The kids are johnning, all right? This what happened. This is what happened. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now, wait. Let's be clear. Elisha didn't curse them children. No. He spoke a judgment on those children. This is what it goes down. And there came forth two bears. Not just, no, a she-bear. That got to mean something. The she-bears must be like, ooh, it must be something. I mean, he called the she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children of them. Paul, look, and God said, yeah. God, no, hey, they got some ratchet children out there, yeah. You got to watch. Watch the jesting. Watch the teasing. PCA, y'all have fun. Y'all clown. But the teasing, the bullying. Nah, man. No. You're going to get dealt with. Those children are precious. You precious in his sight, too. And they are precious, too. You treat people how you want to be treated, man. Next we have, and we moving along. Great, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. We have the complaining tongue. Whew. Now, this is all Israel. Like, this is us. Like, oh, we. Yeah, this is us. James 5:9. Don't grumble against one another. Brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. Matter of fact, the judge is standing at the door. Y'all, Israel complained 14 times from Egypt to the wilderness. From Exodus to Numbers, Israel complained and murmured and cried and complained and murmured 14 times. And I'm sure the Lord at some point was like, you know what, Noah, I'm going to have to read on that, what I promised, that rainbow. I'm going to have to snatch it out the sky, and I'm about to just flood them all out again. But the Lord is merciful. He made a promise. He keeps his promises. Praise God. Could we still hear today in the second Egypt? He's merciful. But the complaining tongue, y'all, the complaining tongue, we got to stay away from that. It's hard to work with a complainer. That make the job harder and longer. And let's just get it done. And rather than complain, what we should do, give thanks. Now, y'all, you know, we have our bad days. Times get rough. And, I mean, life happens, and yeah, a complaint probably gonna come out of our mouth. I mean, that's just, but we gotta shake back. Like, yeah, I don't like this, but shake back. Like, no, let's be grateful. So next we have, y'all, the silent tongue. Remember, the question tonight is, which tongue are you? The silent tongue. You don't say nothing. You gotta watch the quiet ones, though. Watch the quiet ones. But it says, Ecclesiastes 3:7-8, it says, there is a time to rend, rip up, and there is a time to sow. There is a time to keep silence, and there is a time to speak. And this made me think about Eli and his sons. That's in 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, 12-36. We're not going to read the whole thing, but in the NIV, it just opens up. It says, Eli's sons were some scoundrels. It just, yeah. Them balls was cutting up, man. They wasn't honoring the Lord's sacrifice. They were just doing any kind of thing in the temple. And y'all know God gave specific order how the temple should go down with his sacrifice and the offerings and the burnt offerings. He's some specific things, and they were just not heeding to anything. And they messing with the women in the temple. And Eli, he eventually did say something, but it was later. But it could have been sooner. And it makes us think about our children. What are we staying silent about? What could we be saying? And I know what it's like, especially when you have adult children. That's why it says there is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. But there's a time. You got to do one of them. Now, one thing it also made me think about was when it comes to the silent tongue, our young people, they don't talk. Like, you shake their hand and they don't. You try to get a conversation going with them, they don't. You kind of strike a conversation with them, but then they drop the ball. You strike another conversation, then they just drop the ball. It's like, so parents, so we got to, as parents, we got to show our children how to hold the conversation, how to engage a conversation, how to do that. Because a closed mouth not going to get fed. So you got to open your mouth. We got to be able to show them how to talk, how to shake somebody's hand, how to look another man in the eye when you shake their hand. Because that's one thing I don't like. When you shake a young brother's hand and they don't even look at you. I'm looking at you before you look me in my eye, but you're not. It's like, come on, man, look here. Look right here. That means something, man. Come on. We got to show our kids that. Because they're not getting it out there. We're going to have to show them. Our parents showed us, but somewhere the ball dropped somewhere. Be it the society that we're in, whatever it is. The ball dropped. We got to pick it back up, though. Now, our last our last tongue, y'all. We driving it home now, y'all. It's the faithless tongue. The faithless tongue. No faith on your tongue. And for some reason, I think about a Listerine strip. You know the little strips you put on your tongue? We need to apply some faith on your tongue tonight. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Numbers 13, we're not going to read the whole thing or anything like that, but it goes back to Israel. It goes back to the spies. They go spy out the land. Joshua and Caleb there with them. The 10 spies come back with a negative report, a faithless report. Caleb and Joshua come back with a faith-filled tongue. It's just full of faith, like, yeah, we're going to get this. This is our land. They got grapes that's bigger than us. This is our land, man. We're going to slay these giants and we're going to get it. But the 10 spies, they had no faith on their tongue. Where are you lacking in faith in with your tongue? Where is it at? Is it with the children, with them being saved, with your healing, provision? You might be stuck in the same situation. Like, when is it going to change? And you're just losing that faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And it actually takes a faith-filled tongue for us to even get eternal life. That's how important this thing is, to have faith on our tongue, faith in our mouth. The Bible talks about if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we speak it, we'll get eternal life. We have to have faith on our tongue. Where is it lacking at? Where do you need it at? I remember the scripture talks about how the disciples was like, look, can you increase our faith? Help our unbelief? It get rough. The situation looked grim. It looked like it's not going to change. It's been like this after year after year after year. Yeah, those things are true. But let's go back to the faith. This is the way. This is how we roll. We walk by faith, not by sight. This is how we roll. This is how we do this. So for you even to get heaven, you got to have faith on your tongue. You got to, number one, you got to be able to admit that, yeah, I got a problem with my tongue, and I am a sinner. There's many of these areas where I fall in. You got to be able to admit that. And it takes even faith to admit that, because some people just don't even believe in sin. So to admit that it takes faith to admit, yes, I am a sinner. It takes faith to believe, yes, the Bible is real when it said that I am a sinner. I have fallen short of the glory of God. That takes faith. It takes faith to believe in Jesus, that he really did come, that he really did die on the cross for our sins. It takes faith, a tongue of faith. And it takes faith for us to speak it out of our mouth and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That takes faith. So tonight, saints of God, which tongue was yours? Which tongue do you need work on? God is in the repair business. Is what he do. He can fix our mouth. He is a great physician. He could do that. So if y'all could stand with me. And we're going to pray. Just repeat after me, saints. Say, Lord, I thank you for creating me in your image, in your likeness, and thank you for loving me despite my complaining tongue, my prideful tongue, my backbiting tongue, my jesting tongue, my lying and deceiving tongue. You love me past all those things. And for that, I am grateful. But Lord, I don't want to stay the same. I want a mouth like you. I want sweet to come out of my mouth and drive bitterness away. Father God, save me, a sinner, and renew a righteous spirit in me. Help me to speak the way you speak. Help me to walk the way you walk. Help me to love the way you love. And let me walk in faith. And everywhere I go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God some glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank y'all so much, saints of God. Y'all blessing. Let me pray a benediction there, y'all. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, and just ask just for traveling grace upon every person here, Father God. Thank you for bringing us here tonight, Father God, and bring us home safely, Lord God. May our homes be better than the way that we left it, Father God. Let your peace surround us, Lord God, all through this week, Father God. And may we come back to your house, Lord God, and worship you again, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.